Look at the next slide, because Satan always targets the same three areas. That's what 1 John 2:15-17 says. The Apostle John in 1 John 2 explains the world we're not to befriend or love is all of the lusts and evil desires packaged in the various shapes and sizes and colors. And they always come under these three categories. Number one, the world operates by sending us temptations packaged as enticements for our lusts. The first one is the lust of the flesh. We are tempted by the flesh to chase pleasure. That equals the cravings of the body. The lust of the eyes, we're tempted by our eyes to chase stuff. That's the lust for things. The pride of life is we're tempted to chase status. That's the boastings of our mouth. This is selfishness because I'm most important. This is irritableness because the world should revolve around me. This is untruthfulness because I always need to protect myself. This is laziness because I want to rest and comfort myself. All of these things are pride, as well as the obvious lust for status. Pride in all its forms are heinous to God. Now look at this. The lust of the flesh is our body as it chases pleasures. You know what the Lord said? If you live for pleasures, that's not of the Father. Now, God designed the greatest pleasures, but we don't live for them. They're a byproduct of doing the will of the Father. You know what it says in Psalm 16:11? God wants to show us the path of life. He wants to guide us. And if we will say to him, I want your will, then it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. So if we stay close to him, we find pleasure that can't go away. We find if our pleasure is attached to a person or a possession or something that we have power through, it can be taken away. That person can leave us. We can have our possessions stolen. But you know what the Lord says? If you stay close to me, and at my right hand are endless pleasures. What the Lord said is, I've designed pleasures for you. You know what a few of them are? Loving the beauty of the world, loving the sound of music that God designed, loving the joys of marriage and relationships. I mean, God designed all those things. But he said, they'll only be lasting if you follow me. Let me guide you through life. If you stick close to me. And if you stay at my right hand, that means do what my word says pleases me. The lust of the flesh, see the slide, equals the cravings of our body chasing pleasures. God said, that doesn't please me. Number two, the lust of the eyes equals the temptation of our eyes. Our eyes are chasing stuff. Have you ever met people that they just want, they want that. If they have those shoes or that outfit or that car or that house or that trip, do you understand? It's our eyes, the lust of the eyes. Do you remember what the Lord had Solomon say? The eyes of a man are never satisfied. Once Satan infects us with this desire. See, Satan's virus, when we're infected with the materialism virus, our eyes are never satisfied. And then look back at the slide. The pride of life equals the boastings of our mouth. We're chasing status. We sure live in a time. This is so obvious. This is posting somewhere a picture of all that I'm boasting about or writing about. This is so prevalent in our world, this pride of life that I show off. Satan always targets these. Whether it's food or pleasure or fun, our bodies are craving what God says. We are not to allow our flesh to control our cravings. God says fleshly desires are worldly. He's against lust. Lust of the eyes, we're tempted to chase things. We think that that's not as bad as lust of the flesh, but actually the Lord calls this chasing stuff covetousness, which is idolatry. And we're so tempted to chase status, boasting about our lives. What's God's solution for that? 1 John tells us that's not of the Father. So what's the solution? Well, Paul in 1 Timothy 6 gives us basically a list for how we can learn contentment. Now, do you remember how Paul, that's a famous verse, that's another one of those 108 verses, Philippians 4:11, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. How do we get content? 1 Timothy 6 gives us a pathway, and I want to take you through that and kind of show those to you right now. Contentment is a byproduct of following the Lord. Remember he said, I will show you the path of life? When we turn and start following the Lord, do you remember how Jesus called his disciples? Two words, follow me. When we do what he says, follow him, he said, you will learn contentment. Contentment is a byproduct of following the shepherd. It's experiencing an inner peace only he can provide. It's knowing that he will promote us at the right time. Have you ever thought about the fact that the Lord has your email address? He knows your phone number. He knows where you live. Most people think that they've got to promote themselves. Our culture teaches us that. If you're not on LinkedIn, and if you don't have a good CV, and if you are not, that you're going to miss something in life. God says, hey, I'll show you the path of life. In my presence is fullness of joy. At my right hand are endless pleasures. Learn contentment by following me. Contentment is a sense of satisfaction that comes to a husband and wife as they emulate the provision of the care of the shepherd to their own children. Contentment comes from serving Christ instead of money, from providing not only financially for your family, but emotionally and morally and spiritually. How do we cultivate that? Well, 1 Timothy, starting in verse 6, all the way down to verse 17. Let me walk through these verses with you quickly. Principle 1. Remember that things are only temporary. This is what Paul said. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. We can carry nothing out. Do you remember the great lesson? You can't take it with you. Yet most people live like they're going to be able to take it with them. First lesson to be content. The first lesson to fight against Satan's materialism that we're all infected with. The way to build contentment and grow content. Number one, remember, things are temporary. Number two, look at verse 8. Having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Only seek necessities. Wait for the rest. Now, out there in the classes, my wonderful wife Bonnie and I never will forget moving into our very first apartment after we were married. We drove from our wedding, was in New York, and we visited my family in Michigan. And then we visited, friends on the way all the way to California, went out to be on staff with Dr. John MacArthur at Grace Community Church. And we moved into our first apartment that was called a Step Saver apartment. Do you know what that means? I could touch both walls. It was that small. Okay, it was really a Step Saver apartment. And I remember we had no furniture in the apartment. And so Bonnie and I went out and drove behind the supermarket and found the crates that grapes or bananas or something came in that were in the trash. These were wooden crates in California back in the 80s. And we brought home crates. And that was the first furniture in our apartment. And then we got bricks and boards and built a bookcase. And we got a mattress and had it on the floor. We didn't even have enough money for the frame. And then we went to the Goodwill and bought a used couch. Do you know what we did? Look at, only seek necessities, wait for the rest. We didn't go out and buy it all and go into debt. We gradually bought what we could afford. And we've never been in debt our whole marriage. We've always spent less than we earned. You see, that's the old world. I mean, when we were counsel for marriage, they said, the best way to survive is always spend less than you're earning. That is not what you hear nowadays. Most people are very discontent because
They don't think things are temporary, and they don't seek necessities. They never wait for anything. They buy the brand new everything. Wow. We need shelter and the basic provisions of life. Everything beyond that is simply a great blessing. Whether it comes or goes is okay. God said all we're supposed to expect in life is food and clothing, and be happy with that. Principle number three, avoid the consuming desire for prosperity. Look at verse 9. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Like what temptation? Like sacrificing everything for your job, like moving to the other end of the country where you're out of touch with your family and with any Christian accountability, and just to earn another $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000. Wow, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and many foolish and harmful lusts. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith and have pierced themselves through, verse 10 says, with many sorrows. America is being fed a prosperity diet. You might say, that's not me, I'm not rich. Well, if you have a car, you're rich. 95% of the people in the world can't afford a car. Don't ever forget that. Your watch, I mean, if you have a watch on and your clothes, you're worth more than hundreds of millions of people on earth have. Tens of thousands of people starve to death around the world, and we throw so much away. Avoid a consuming desire, Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10, because it'll pierce us through with many sorrows. Principle number four is in verse 11. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Verse 11. Do you know what that is? Flee materialism. Satan's deadly virus is that you're only happy when you have that thing you want. You're only happy when you have that possession or that pleasure, that trip, that power, that position. Flee materialism. If we seek to accumulate possessions at the expense of growing in Christlikeness, we're not living for what lasts. If you live for materialism, you're living for now. You're an earth dweller. You're living like a lost person. Citizens of heaven are on earth, but their antennas are pointed up. This world is not my home. My treasures are in heaven, and that's where my heart is pointed. Flee materialism. Principle number five, it says in 1 Timothy 6, 12, that we should cling to eternal life, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were called. Wow. We need a whole generation of people who hold tighter to eternal life than they hold to this world. And you know what? God can direct you anywhere. Remember what, the famous Jim Elliot saying? He is no fool who gives what he can't keep, material things, earth, to gain what you can't lose. Live for what lasts. Principle 6 is in verse 17, and it says this: command those who are rich not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. You know what that principle is? Fix your hope on God. Not on the corporation, not on the company, not on the IRA, not on the 403B, not on the stock matching fund, not on your real estate, whatever. Cling to eternal life. Verse 17, fix your hope on God. Command those who are rich to not be haughty, but in the living God to cling. And finally, number 7, give until it hurts. Let them do good, be ready to give, willing to share, storing up a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Cling to eternal life, fix your hope on God, give until it hurts.